about and reason about, we're going to reason, and we can rectify some things in their life, because he told us that we should not do this unworthily. Of course, I'm not worthy, but by the blood of Jesus and the atonement for our sins and the forgiveness of sins, he makes us, and he is worthy. So we're in Christ Jesus, and he is in us. And then he oversees that. We have a promise that he's going to be with us this morning and every morning. And then the last thing we'll look at, we're going to be able to rejoice as he orchestrates it. Remember, he founded the world. He spoke it into existence. And even in the first, we see that God created man in his likeness, in his image. And there he put man to sleep. And from the side, he created woman to be a helpmate. Then remember, Jesus was asleep in the tomb for 3 days and three nights. And from that shed blood, that we were born of his side also. So he originated this communion with us by the death, burial, and resurrection. We celebrate the season that he came into this world to die for our sins. He came as a babe. He lived a perfect life. And the reason he came was to be willing to lay his life down and to give his blood a sacrifice for our sins. So we're going to look this morning at his plan. Let's read a little bit more detail from the book of Luke chapter 22, some details about how he originated this. Of course, we don't have time to go into all the early testament in the Old Testaments of how he had that perfect sacrifice. He would take the blood, they would take the blood of the animals, and it was pointing to that perfect day that he would be in the Lamb of God, would take the sins, all your sins and all my sins away. But now let's read the text together in Luke chapter 22, verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread, and the Passover must be killed. This is right before he went to Calvary, the last Passover that he would have, but he kept the law, and he was going to do it just like, but the disciples, they were wondering now. And look at his plan, how easily he carries it out, how simplistic it is to discern how he did that, and for you and for me, how simple he made the plan of salvation, that we couldn't miss it because the Holy Ghost interprets it. The Holy Ghost comes and he arrests us and he shows us Christ Jesus. He shows us ourselves, and then he shows us how to be saved. And then the Bible says, and he sent Peter and John saying, go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. And they said to him, for will that we prepare? And when the first thought came to me as a 12-year-old boy about my lost condition, of course, the thoughts had been there before in my head, but this time the thought was wanting to be transmitted from my head to my heart, and the Holy Ghost showed me how to do that. So the question was, Peter and John, where will we go prepare it? And for me, it was, how do I get saved? And the Holy Ghost rushed into the scene and showed me how to believe in my heart. And then the Bible says, and he said to them, behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing the pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And ye shall say unto the good man of the house, the master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall shew you a large upper room furnished. There make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them. And they made ready the Passover. And when the hours come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said to them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer it. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of our God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. We remember the plan, a simple plan for them. The time of the Passover was near. Peter and John wanted to do all they can to make sure that the Passover was carried out. And Jesus told them a simplistic plan. Go and I'll show you how to. And when you and I got saved, he showed us how to get saved. And then we live a life of communion, of fellowship with him. How do we do it in an unfriendly world? He has a plan for each of us. And he shows us daily how we're to read the Bible, to study, to show ourselves approved, how to be a light in this present world. And as I was driving to work this morning, you know, the thought, it's so real to come in the house of God, and hopefully a holy hush will be gathered on us this morning, and we'll be able to worship and adore him and fellowship and have communion with him as we've never done before. And the thought came to my mind and heart, boy, this is an unfriendly world. So what? Doesn't matter how unfriendly, how awful, what they do, it cannot and will not, and I won't allow it, and he won't let me allow it, interfere with my communion with him this morning. All those thoughts of all the world and all the problems and even the sickness, the physical problems, and all of us could go through the next hour sharing that with one another. But what does it matter? We can come boldly to the throne of grace, and there we can find help and communion with him. Look at the disciples there in that day. They lived in a country that was impoverished. They live in a country that they were not their own. They were told what to do by the Romans' authority. And yet, because of Jesus and his plan developing, how he called them into service, and they followed him, and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. They've heard him pray, and now he teaches them how to pray. And we read the word of God, and he teaches us that this plan is for communion with him. So simple. Go, and I'll show you every step of the way. We have not because we ask not. And when we want to have fellowship with him, he prepares a place. He has prepared a place for us. It may be under an old oak tree or a pine tree. It may be in your closet. It may be driving down the road. But we can have fellowship and communion with him. And then he has prepared this place for us this morning, where we come together and fail not to assemble ourselves together in the manner of some man. And so what? Hundreds and thousands of people in America and across the world, no doubt, are born again and saved and secured. Their name is written there. But for whatever reason, they fail to come boldly to the throne of grace. They fail to come to the place where he has prepared for us to come and take communion and take communion and fellowship with him. But you see, that cannot nor will not, should not interfere with you and with me having fellowship with him. The world will do what they will, and people will do what they will, but I've learned as I get older and older what others say and do. I never have. Peer pressure has never bothered me in the least. I got a million problems, don't have time to tell you about any of them, but one thing God's helped me with is I don't worry about what others do, because I'm not going to let it interfere with me and my walk with the Lord. And Peter and John, although all the problems were, they had problems with Jesus, and they had problems with their own selves. Remember, as they were following him, they were discussing. And they even had their mother, James and John, had their mother go to Jesus and say, Jesus, I know you got a lot of boys here, but my two boys, they're a little bit special, you know. And when you get to your kingdom, will you allow one to sit on one side, one the other? See, they wasn't perfect. But it didn't interfere that day with Peter and John going and obeying the will of God. And then they were discussing, remember, as they were traveling with Jesus, he heard them, he knew their thoughts, he heard what they said, and they were discussing who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom. Pride. Every one of us have that, and God hates pride. And God wants us to come boldly to the throne of grace and worship and kindly dismiss all that pride and ask him to help us with it. So they were headed now to the place of preparation. God has prepared for us. He's orchestrated. He has a plan. And then we're going to look at the purpose. Why? Because he wants to present you and I faultless before God the Father, a wedding supper, and God wants to prepare us. And sometimes he allows, he orchestrates, he plans things in your life and mine, and it doesn't agree with us all the time because we want perfection. We want perfect health. We want perfect wealth. We want all those things. But God knows if we had all those things, a lot of people have dismissed and don't discern the goodness of God, and they have fallen away. So he knows what it takes to keep us in line, and his plan is for the purpose of us, bringing glory and honor to his name. No matter what anyone does, and no matter what he allows us to go through, don't let it dispose and take away the worship and the admiration that we need of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have looked at remembering how he originated this communion. Well, let's look next of all at the reasoning and the rectifying situation as he oversees it. He is the one in control. He's looking down. He knows everyone's their thoughts. He knew them when you woke up this morning, every thought you and I have had. And furthermore, the more I read and study, he knows what I will think. He knows what I will do. So this morning, we're going to have communion. We're going to take of the bread. We're going to partake of the drink, which represents the blood that he shed. And now we reason about that. And now we think in ourselves, because we're trying to discern what he wants us to do. And so let him, ask him this morning to search your heart, to search my heart. And if there be anything in my life that's not right, to forgive me as we learn to rectify and as we learn to reason, because he is the overseer. He is the overseer in the past. He saw you and I when we were in our sins. He saw you, Jeremiah says, before you were ever born in your mother's womb. He truly knows our past, and he oversees our past. It's not by chance or happenstance that we're here this morning in the house of God. I know he gives us permission to do some things along the way, but if we'd listen closely, he would guide us and direct our path and get us on the narrow road. We sang this morning a lot of wonderful songs. There is a broad road that's destruction and leads to hell. But then there's that narrow road that he chooses. He picks us up out of a miry pit. He comes to live in their heart, establishes their going, and then he oversees our life. And the more we let him oversee our life, we remember that the life we now live, we live by the faith of the Son of God who loves us and gave himself for us. So the past that he oversees and directed us, and we just followed the plan. Peter and John were following the plan. God had it all fixed out. He had somebody already prepare it. The room was prepared. Everything was prepared. All they had to do is listen and follow directions. Life would be a lot more simple if you and I would learn that he is the overseer. He's the originator. And if you and I would learn that there's a place that he has for us, not just on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, but every day of our life, a place where he wants us to fellowship, commune with him, and have the goodness of God and help our fellow man. Well, not only the past, but we have the present. We don't know how long we have the present. The present may be with us this afternoon as we come and listen to some beautiful singing tonight. He's with us. He orchestrates that. And God allows every one of us to do what we want to do, doesn't he? But see, if you let him orchestrate it, you let him plan it, how much perfect it will be. And we have the present where we can just stop and reflect and reason. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. And Paul tells us in Corinthians that we ought to check ourselves to make sure that we're worthy. And of course, because of his blood, because he has forgiven us. And if you and I ask him, if you're saved, and you ask him to forgive every sin, and then you ask him to search your heart, because sometimes we have a way of covering up our sins within ourselves, we can do that because we don't really, the flesh, see, doesn't really want to serve God. I know the soul does, the spirit does, but there's something about the Adamic nature that doesn't want to serve God. See, we get lazy, we get complacent, we got pride, we got all those problems. So just stop and reason and let the Holy Spirit help you rectify that by saying, Lord, search my heart, try me. If there's any wicked way within me, Lord, forgive it. I want to have perfect communion with you, not only this morning, but every day of my life. And then, of course, we have the past, we have the present. I want to dwell for a little bit on the promise. You see, we have before us this morning communion, we have the juice, we have the bread, and then that is the action. It's called a participation. We participate in the activities that he told us to do, and that leads to communion worship because that's his way. But look at the verse of scripture again. There's a promise of the future. Verse 29, but I say unto you, Matthew 26:29, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. So we have the past. God has brought us to the present. But now we can look to the future with the promise that we will be in his kingdom and we'll be able to drink. You see, fellowship. It's not just right then the blood has covered all our sins. All our sins are gone. He has made us perfect. He has given us a new body, a glorified body. And there he promises that we can drink anew. Let's look forward to that. Not only the past, the present, but the promise of a glorious future. We've looked this morning at remembering how he originated everything. We have looked at the reason and rectifying that we need to do ourselves of how he orchestrates and how he plans everything. But I want to look lastly. Let's rejoice because now we can rejoice as he orchestrates it. See, he originated it, but now he is the orchestrator. He planned it. He has it all planned out. He knows the day, the hour. He's going to send his son to get his bride home. And then all those that are dead in Christ will rise. We'll all meet together. Let's read about it because we understand that we're talking about the communions, not just past communions, present communions, but the communion, future communions also. Let's read about it in Revelation chapter 19. Rejoicing as he orchestrates the present into the future. Now, there's a plea going out. Remember the scripture that we ought to go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Their house may be full. We do that by living their life before them. Every one of us, Lord willing, if you're out of the house, you're going to see people. You're going to, and they're going to react. They're sad. They're dreary. They got problems. We got problems. But you see, because of the blood shed in their heart, because we're rejoicing in him, because we're participating in fellowship and communion with him, we've got something to rejoice about, present. And then we have a smile on their face. We overcome. I've told this before, but let me tell you again. Other people are watching and listening. I used to have to travel a lot, and one time I traveled to Arizona. This particular time it was Phoenix. Had a hard day with unreasonable people. They're really people that had done a lot of bad things wrong and trying to make look like we'd done things wrong, and then just dealing with people is a problem. But sitting in the airport that night waiting to come home after a 12-hour day, I was tired, I was weary. I always carried my Bible, and I was reading the Word of God. But I can only imagine the look on my face. It was pointed out to me by a lady I had never seen before. I looked up and she said, sir, understandeth what thou readest? And I remember the text. Remember when Philip went out to the one traveling by chariot, the eunuch, and he was reading the Word of God, and he asked a question, understand what thou readest? And I said, yeah, I understand it. She said, you don't, your face don't show it. And I can only imagine. She knew I was a Christian, but I would be reading the Bible, and so I knew she was a Christian, and she wouldn't be talking about it. But there, I was tired, I was weary. But you see, people didn't know. People might have thought I just got out of bed. But you see, I had that look on my face, no doubt. I'm proud nobody didn't take a picture of it. Tired, weary, bothered, still aggravated that somebody caused us so much trouble. And see, the world's looking at that. And that taught me, if I can't read the Word of God with the joy in my heart, particularly when I'm around the other people, and I read it with a glum face and sadness and looks like I'm eating sawbars, I'd be better off not to even be reading it in their presence. That taught me so much of a lesson. How much do we go through this world? We're not reading the Word of God, but we have read the Word of God. And we go through the world. All this got aches and pains and sorrows and all that. We all know that. But put on a happy face. And when you're around people, they know you're saved. You've been a witness to them before. But all the trouble, they look at you and they got problems. And we're trying to be a witness to them and say, hey, bring your cares to Jesus. He cares for you. Leave them all with him. And yet we go through this world acting like we don't even have a God. And he wants us to rectify that. He wants us to rejoice. Let's read the text together in Revelation chapter 19, verse 1. We're talking about a plea now that others have been invited. We invite them. The Holy Ghost invites them to come and rejoice because there's going to be a place called heaven that everyone ever is going to get to go to because of what he has done for us. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia! And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen! Alleluia! And the voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and there's a voice of many waters, and there's a voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is a righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Right, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. Verse 7, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Remember, he told us he'd not drink again the vine until he drank it with us in his kingdom. And there he calls us to the marriage supper of the Lamb, the cup of blessing. We can remember and recall all the blessings he has given us, that we're there, that we can worship him. And all the former things were passed away. And John says, I fell at his feet in worship and adored him at the marriage supper of the Lamb. But look carefully at the word, but as many as received him. And then he said in verse 9 again, and he said to me, Right, blessed are they which are called. Many are called, but few are chosen, because he realizes and knows people want to go to heaven. I've actually met some people that said they didn't want to go to heaven. That's because, no doubt, one time God had convicted them, and they had said, no, leave me alone, and God took them at his word and left them alone, and now they know they can't go to heaven, and so they want to say, I don't want to go. Well, they're not going because they won't accept. But look carefully at that, because in John chapter 1, verse 2, but as many as received him, who's going to be there? As many as receive him. He calls, but if we receive and we ask that he forgive us, atone for our sins, shed that blood, apply it to our heart, because we're saved, we want to live for him. See, salvation is more than just a ticket to heaven. It's a life of communion, fellowship with him. Let him orchestrate, let him control us. We're his servants. We follow him. And the verse says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. We can give praise and honor and glory to him forever and ever. Past communion, because he has wiped away our sins. Present communion that we have this very minute. Communion fellowship with him. We drink the juice, represents his blood. We eat the bread, representing his broken body. But not only that, looking forward to the day when we're going to be able to, in person, with a glorified body, drink the cup. Read the verse again. When I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Glory, glory, glory. Let's go back to the text and we'll have our communion this time. Miss Brenda, would you come play softly on the piano? Whatever God puts on your heart to play as we worship together. Lord Jesus, help us, Lord, this morning to have the spirit of discernment, to understand what you're teaching us, that this life we now live, we live because of your faith that you implanted and imparted to us, the shed blood that covered their sins. Help us represent you in this present world, and help us look forward to the day and today we're going to be with you in your Father's kingdom, drinking the cup with you, fellowship, participation, and all the things you have laid out for us. And this morning, as we go through this, as we honor you, we're going to give you praise, honor, and glory for everything you've done, for what you are doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 26. In verse 26. Take heed. This is my body. Gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this occasion. You've permitted, you've granted this opportunity to worship you. And we thank you for the shed blood you gave and for the application of that blood to our sins. Lord, help us live a life pleasing before you. Thank you for being willing to die for our sins. And thank you for all you've done. Help us to be more like you. Forgive us when we fail. Come short of all your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Miss Brenda, I'm so sorry I had you play and didn't give you a chance to do that. I was doing that. It's not fair to her that we did this, but it's what the Lord told me to do. I'm sorry, Miss Brenda. Would you stand this morning? Your heads are bowed. We're dismissed.